السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ علي.
أبو عبد الرحمن حاوي
الحمد لله بالخير يا شيخ علي.
كويكو نستمر. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our last discussions are on Babu سقي الماء in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah Abu Abdullah. The last hadith we read was hadith 422, and it occurs under the chapter heading Babu سقي الماء, the chapter about providing water for people to drink. And that has to do with one of the ways of cancelling out the evils of as-sibab. As-sibab is when one individual, a Muslim, begins to insult and abuse and denigrate, defame other Muslims. He begins to insult him, whether with something that the other party has with him or with something that he does not have. When he insults a Muslim, he is making a sibab, and he is sabun, someone who denigrates and defames, belittles the other person. This is really, really wrong in Islam. But the last chapter we read was about sakyulma, providing water. It was mentioned as one of those things for which an individual gains forgiveness of sins and for which he gains a lot of rewards, even though it is very easy to do. Some other things too were mentioned along with providing water, such as kalimatun tayyiba, making adhkar and saying good words, wa'unu rajuli akhahu, and that an individual helps his brother. When you help your brother, the sins of the insults you had abused, you'd insulted people, becomes taken away and overwhelmed by the beautiful rewards from this. Likewise, imatatul adha anit tariq, taking away harmful things from the road. That's why one of the scholars, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, if imatatul adha anit tariq is from sadaqah, is from good deeds, that is, removing harmful objects from the people's road is beneficial and rewarding, then bringing harmful things to the road is also destructive and sinful if it is rewarding and full of praise. For an individual to remove harmful things from the road, then it is full of dispraise and sin for an individual to bring things to obstruct the people's road. All of these are from the aspects of the good deeds that weigh heavily on the scales of good deeds, for which the individual, inshallah, will gain success away from the insults, from the abuse that he had insulted and abused and smeared, denigrated the rest of the Muslims. May Allah protect us from this negative character of insulting and abusing people. And like we said in the last class, as much as we will dispraise abusing people, we all should also try not to behave in such a way that we become a prey for someone to abuse. Don't behave in such a way that you'll be abused. Don't cause abuse. don't do something that would make the people begin to insult you and belittle you. By that, you would have helped that person who insults. Like we ended in the last class. Yes, some men will say their wives abuse them. So the response regarding this is, don't do something that will make your wife abuse you and insult you. Likewise, many women say that their husbands abuse them. So in this aspect, we say that don't also do something. If you know what you do that horrifies him and makes him become uncontrollable, and then he begins to insult you and abuse you, then stop it. Stop that thing. That is the way to be reasonable. It is not reasonable to only complain about the insults and abuse while you still carry on. You still move on about those same things that cause him to abuse you. These are the kinds of things we'll be addressing today in this chapter heading from Hadith 423 to 426. Those who cause abuse, those who make people abuse them, they also have a sin in it all. So on the chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Babun aw Babu al-Mustabban ma qala fa'ala al-awwali. Al-Mustabban ma qala fa'ala al-awwal. The chapter regarding al-Mustabban, two people. Al-Mustabbu is the one who is insulting one person, who is insulting the other person. He's making sab. So when you have al-mustaban, they are two in number, two people insulting, crossing insults amongst one another, belittling themselves, denigrating themselves. You are this, you are stupid. The other one says you are mad. The other one says you are this. And then they begin to insult themselves. This chapter heading says that ma qala, yani ismu ma qala, ismu qawlihima, the sins that comes from, the sins that come from the insults from both sides. Brother A is insulting brother B. Sister A is insulting sister B. The sins that become reaped, because people will be reaping sins when they cross insults. فَعَلَى الْأَوَّلِ, it will be on the head of the first person who started the insult. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our religion teaches us Islam, so as to dissuade you. It will not make you, the benefit in this is that it will not make you start insult. Because you know, if you start the insult and then you are insulted in response, the sin of the two parties insulting themselves, your own sins, and the sins of the one who replies your insult, it will be upon you who has caused the insulting war between both parties. So one of the things we'll benefit from this is that don't cause insult. Don't do something that will cause people to begin to insult people. Don't insult people. Don't also be a reason. Don't do something. Don't help someone who can abuse you and insult you. Don't help him. Don't do something that will now push him to say, okay, this is a good reason to insult you. Just like the first person who insulted. If the first person insulted, and then he is replied, the sin of both of them come on the first person. Why? He started it all. Meaning that it is not proper to start insult or do something that will make two parties begin to insult one another. I hope that the essence of this chapter heading, Al-Mustabban ma qala fa'ala al-awwal, two people insulting one another, whatever sins accrue from the insults between the two of them, فَعَلَى الْأَوَّلِ, then it will come upon, the sins will come upon the first person who started the insult. So under Hadith 423, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ibrahim ibn Musa, Qala Haddathana Ismail ibn Ja'far, Qala Haddathana Al-Ala'u ibn Abd al-Rahman an Abihi Hurayra radiyallahu anhu. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال المستابان ما قال فعل البادي ما لم يعتدي المظلوم المستابان ما قال فعل البادي ما لم يعتدي المظلوم الإمام البخاري reports this from his Sheikh إبراهيم ابن موسى. That is Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Musa Abu Ishaq At-Tamimi. Ibrahim ibn Musa Abu Ishaq At-Tamimi is the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. Qala haddathana Ismail ibn Ja'far. Abu Ishaq At-Tamimi, Ibrahim ibn Musa said, haddathana Ismail ibn Ja'far. Ismail ibn Ja'far reported to us, narrated to us, and Ismail ibn Ja'far, his kunya is also Abu Ishaq. So he is Abu Ishaq al-Madani. Qala haddathana al-Ala'u ibn Abd al-Rahman. Al-Ala'u ibn Abd al-Rahman, we have read a number of his reports in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and most of them he would report from his father, عبد الرحمن بن يعقوب المدني. So العلاء بن عبد الرحمن reports this hadith from his father عبد الرحمن بن يعقوب المدني, who is a student of the companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أبو هريرة. So he said, عبد الرحمن بن يعقوب, the father of عبد الرحمن, العلاء بن عبد الرحمن said, عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He reports it from Abu Huraira, who was also reporting from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, who said, المستبان ما قال فعل البادي. المستبان ما قال, whatever sins, ismu qawlihima, whatever sins come from the insults between al-mustaban, one person is making sub of the other, he insults him, he denigrates him, he abuses him, he smears him, he says every negative thing about him to bring him down, whether that sin is part of him or not. That is called as-sabbu. But when what he says is not part of him, he's insulting him with what is not of him, that is as-shatmu. We've mentioned this repeatedly in the various chapters. It is as-shatmu when what he says he employs to insult him are not with him. No, that is as-shatmu. But as for as-sab, as-sab, then that has to do with whether that thing is with him or not. When he begins to insult the person, he's making sibab, he's making fisk, he's being criminal. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mustaban, when two people in abuse, two people insulting themselves, ma qala, the sin of what the two of them say, فَعَلَى الْبَادِي, the sin will come on the one who started the insult. When two people begin to insult and abuse themselves, the sin come upon the one who started the insult. In the last class, we said, if the one, party B, who was being insulted by party A, if he keeps quiet, and he does not say anything, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said to us that the malaika would be replying party A if party B remains silent. Party A insults party B. Party B remains silent. He never said a word. The Malaika will be responding on behalf of party B against party A. So it's always ever encouraged to remain silent. If you ask, how best do you treat insults? How best do you handle abuse? Someone begins to insult you, abuse you, say negative things to dispraise you. The best way to respond is to be silent and not reply. When you are silent without giving him any response. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he has a lot of poems regarding this. One of the things he said in his very lengthy poems about being silent when someone insults you is that when you reply, you have just strengthened him. When you reply, you strengthen him. But when you are silent, you weaken him. He himself or she herself also begins to see how unfortunate he or she may be to insult you. The best thing to do in the circumstance of a person being tried with the insult from another person, the best thing to do is not to reply. Now, this is the best thing to do. How about when you now reply? Yes, the Quran says that وَلَا مَنِ انْتَصَرَ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلِ مَنْ انْتَصَرَ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ. When someone begins to wrong you and then you make intisar, you respond just in the like of what was directed towards you. The Quran says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلِ. The one who replies just as he was wronged. مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلِ. There is no way against him. We cannot take up anything against him. He just replied exactly as he was insulted. So, مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلِ. So, the one who replies insult, he does not have a blame. He does not have a blame. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. The righteous people. Yes, you can reply. يَنْتَصِرُونَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ. When someone transgresses, when transgression comes towards them, يَنْتَصِرُونَ. They put that transgression away. That is to say, someone abuses you, insults you. If you keep quiet, that is the best for you. But if you reply, just as he has said or she has said, you don't have a blame. The blame of disobeying Allah and His Messenger and starting insult, it will go back to the fa'al al-badi. It will go back to that person who started the insult. The sin of the two insults, no one of them will come on the second person. It will go to the first person. مَا لَمْ يَعْتَدِ الْمَظْلُومِ. As long as the person who was insulted, who was abused, who was wronged, لَمْ يَعْتَدِ. He did not go beyond limits. If you choose to reply, don't go beyond limits. That is the limit of what was said to you. If 1, 2, 3, 4 was said to you, and you reply and say 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3, 4, you don't have a blame. But if in your reply, and this is what Shaitan pushes the people to do, when someone insults you 1, 2, 3, Shaitan pushes you to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Shaitan pushes you to become the one who now carries the body. So as long as you do not go beyond the limits, as long as you who was wrong at the beginning, لَمْ تَعْتَدِي, you did not go beyond the limits by abusing the person more or by using worse expressions. It can be على الأكثرية. You use more words. Someone says you are stupid, and then he says you say in reply, you are stupid, you are stupid, very stupid, in fact very stupid. You have used more words, and the very you employed there itself shows that you became more intense in your own choice of response. So as long as you do not go overboard, the sins will be upon the first person who started the insult. But when you go overboard, then the scholars explain and say, that area, the one where you go overboard, is the sin that you will carry. For example, someone abuses you and says 1, 2, 3, and you say to him 1, 2, 3, there is no sin on you. But when you say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sin you will get is the sin of 4 and 5. I hope it is clear. The sin you will get when you go overboard is 4 and 5, not 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3 goes on the head of the person who started the insult. As for the sin of 4 and 5, which was the excess, that is the one that comes to you. And many times the excess itself comes, may even go beyond the original. And then you become the volume, you become the wrongdoer. When at the beginning you were the wronged, you become the oppressor. When at the beginning you were the oppressed, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mustabban ma qala fa'al al-bari. Two people insulting themselves, the sin come upon the first person who started the insult. Ma lam ya'tadil mazlum. As long as the first person who was insulted did not go beyond limits, meaning that if he goes beyond limits, he takes the excess of his insult. He takes the sin in the excess. As for the beginning itself, that one goes to the person who started the insult. What you will take if you insult and go extra is the sin of that extra. I think that hadith is clear. We can come to hadith 424. The first hadith we read, 423, is the hadith of Abu Huraira. This 424 is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, and it is about the same expression as we have in hadith 423. So in 424, Imam al-Bukhari reports it with a completely different chain, but with the same expression. So he said, rahimahullah, haddathana Ahmad ibn Isa, qala haddathana ibn Wahb, qala akhbarani Amr ibn al-Harith, an Yazid ibn Abi Habib, an Sinan ibn Sa'd, an Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, qal, al-mustabban ma qala fa'ala al-badi, hatta يَعْتَدِيَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Imam al-Bukhari reports it from his Shaykh Ahmad ibn Isa, that is Abu Abdullah al-Misri. Ahmad ibn Isa, he is Abu Abdullah al-Misri, rahimahullah. He said, حَدَّثَنَا ibn Wahab. He is reporting from Abdullah ibn Wahab, that eminent student of al-Imam Malik, from the people of Misr. He is Abdullah ibn Wahab, rahimahullah. He said, أخبرني Amr ibn al-Harith. Amr ibn al-Harith. He is Amr ibn al-Harith al-Ansari, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from his Shaykh Yazid ibn Abi Habib. Yazid ibn Abi Habib al-Misri. He was also from the scholars of Egypt. This isnad is Misriyun. This isnad is an isnad that has in it the scholars of Egypt. Rahimahullah. Yazid ibn Abi Habib is reporting from his Shaykh Sinan ibn Sa'd. Sinan ibn Sa'd, there's an issue regarding his name. Some of the people say that he is Sa'd ibn Sinan al-Misri. is also from the scholars of Egypt. So some say his name is Sa'd ibn Sinan. Others say, no, his name is Sinan ibn Sa'd. Some say his name is Sa'd ibn Sinan, like Al-Imam al-Mizzi, rahimahullah. But others say, no, his name is Sinan ibn Sa'd, like Al-Imam ibn Hibban, like Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And that is also the view of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. This reporter, this tabi'i, reporting from Anas, his name is Sinan. It is his father's name that is Sa'd. He's a tabi'i from the students of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. So Anas reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the expression of the last hadith we read from Abu Huraira. In the report of Abu Huraira above in 4:23, it says, Al-Mustaban ma qala fa'ala al-badi ma lam ya'tadi al-mazloom. He says, ma lam ya'tadi al-mazloom. But in this expression is in 4:24. He says, atta hatta ya'tadi al-mazloom. Al-Mustaban, two people insulting and abusing one another. Ma qala, ismu ma qala, the sin of what the two of them are saying. This one says, you are mad. The other one says, you are mad. You say, you are stupid. The other one says, you are stupid. In all of these, may Allah protect us. Fa ismu ma qala, the sin of what they say to themselves. Fa ala al-badi, it will come upon the head of the one who started the insult. Hatta ya'tadi al-mazloom, the sin will stop coming to the first person when the one who was insulted now goes beyond limits. At that time, the sin will go to the person who was insulted. He was told 1, 2, 3. He now replied and said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So the evil repercussions of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, where he was excess, it will come back to that person who was insulted at the beginning. So you would see that the best of what a person can do is to remain silent. If you are silent, the person who insults you, the angels will be replying on your behalf. If he says you are mad, the angels will say to him, they will give him the reply of what he has said to you. If he says you are stupid, they will give him the reply. I think when we were younger than this, we used to be told that the best answer for a fool is to be silent. I remember this when we were far younger than this. We used to be told that silence is the best answer for a fool. Is a fool insulting you? So allow the silence to play the role. This is the best thing for you to do. The best thing for you to do. And that is supported in many verses in the Quran. Allah says, وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ عَفَى, the one who overlooks, وَأَصْلَحَ, he even did what is good, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, Allah alone knows what he will reward him with. Elsewhere in Surah An-Nahl, Allah says, وَإِنَا قَبْتُمْ, when people begin to insult you and abuse you, فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ, and you want to pay back, just pay back with the like of what you have been abused. Don't go beyond limits. But he said, وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ, but if you are patient, لَهُوَ خَيْرُ لِلصَّابِرِ, that is absolutely, clearly, surely better for those who are amongst the sabirun. If you want to be a patient person and gain the rewards of patience, and from the rewards of patience is al-jannah. Allah says, وَجَزَاءُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا, the reward they gain for their being patient is what? Jannata wa harira, al-jannah, and wearing silk inside al-jannah. So from the rewards of patience is what? Al-jannah. And one of the places where patience is so required is when someone comes and then begins to insult you. So for the sake of Allah, what we see on the social media, unfortunately, it may even be amongst learned people, trading insults and abuse. It is not right from our religion. And then the young people now follow. In fact, these days, it is as if young people don't know any other thing apart from abusing and insulting people, using negative expressions against those who are older than them. They do that a lot amongst themselves and against those who are far older. Young people think that what shows that they are brilliant is their ability to insult people and send innuendos to them. For the sake of Allah, this is not from the way of Islam. Islam has prohibited us to abuse and insult people. Now, when we become tried by Allah, by a person who lacks character, who lacks good sense, who lacks balance, and then he begins to insult you, the Arabs say, "Fasna'ka'annaka lam tasma'," behave as if you didn't even hear what he said. Behave as if you didn't hear it. Was he even talking? I remember vividly an incident involving myself and a brother. We were driving and traveling. The brother was driving, and I was sitting in front of the vehicle. One of the public transports drove badly, and he almost hit us. So the brother driving said, "Why did you do that?" Then he began to insult us. "You are mad. You are stupid. You know how public transport people insult you." So I held the brother on his laps. I said, "Don't answer. Don't answer." So we left that scene. And then just in front, less than 3 minutes, there was a traffic in front. I just noted that same man who had insulted us, he parked near us. He was near us in the traffic. And he started to say, "Alaji, please, sorry. Alaji, please, sorry." So why have I cited this incident? Being silent and not replying insult is very, very honorable. Wallahi. Being silent and not responding, it's very, very honorable. It shows that you are a strong man. It shows that you are a honorable person. It is not when you begin to pay back insults with insult and innuendos that we know that you are strong. The real strength is to be able to curtail and restrain yourself from being like that person who is mean, coming to insult you. He is mean. Why do you go down to his level? For the sake of Allah, the best thing is not to reply. But if you now reply, your reply must be exact things that he said. If you go overboard to say, "I will do more so as to stop him from doing that next time," the sins of those your more will come over you. So three categories. The first one is to be silent in the face of insult. The second one is to pay back with the exact insult. The third one, when you go beyond the insult that was directed to you, you begin to end the evils of that. But don't forget, this chapter seeks to make us understand that whoever starts an evil gains the reward of the further evils that come from it. Like the person who starts an abuse, then a second person returned abuse. That first person gets the two rewards of evil, the one who started and the reply. So this means that when you start evil, you get the reward of those who follow you upon that evil. And this is very common and widely mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah told us about non-Muslims. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّبِعُوا سَبِيلَنَا وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ وَلَا يَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ أَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ وَلَا يُسْأَلُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. In that surah, Allah says, the non-Muslims will come to you and say, "Ittabi'u sabilana," follow our path. become a Christian, be born again. وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطَيَاكُمْ. If you are born again, we will take up your sins. Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَيَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. But these people can't take away your sins. مِنْ شَيْءٍ. In any way. They can't take anything away from your sins. إِنَّهُمْ لَكَذِبُونَ. They are only lying. وَلَا يَحْمِلُونَ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ. On the day of Qiyamah, they shall carry their own burdens. وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ. And other sins, the sins of those they have deceived into their evil. So if you cause something to happen, you share from the sin of those people who do it. If you make somebody to abuse you, and then he abuses you, you share from the sin of abuse. Why? You cause that abuse. So don't cause an abuse and then begin to harass. We have a way these days. Yesterday, someone sent me a question. It's still on my phone. Said she knows that she disobeys her husband, but the husband should not behave. So if you know you do something bad, then stop it. Stop it. Don't go to simplify and say, yes, I know that I do this, this is bad, but why is it? No, do stop your own that you know you do that is bad. So this kind of a thing. Someone says a woman packed out of the house of her husband for 1 year. A woman just stood up one day and said, she's tired. She packed out of the house of the husband. The husband was looking at her for 1 year. Now she wants to return to the house. The husband said, no, you can't come back to this house until the two families have sat down on it. Now you begin to say, why is the brother, why is he wanting, insisting that families should sit? He should just allow her back home. Oh, he should allow indecency and indiscipline back into his house. When she had to pack her load and go out of his house. So many times when you do something and there is an equal opposite reaction against what you do, think inwards. What was your own contribution to it? You contributed to it too. So don't contribute to evil. Just like non-Muslims behave in Nigeria. Non-Muslims are the ones who start to bring religion into a matter. People say there is no religion. And that itself is a lie. There is nothing anybody does as long as he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, except that there are iota of his religious considerations and inclinations in what he does. So they say, don't bring religion, don't bring religion. But they will be the first persons to bring religion into it. Now, when you bring religion into it, they say, no, no, you want to oppress us. For the sake of Allah, don't do something that will bring a negative repercussion against you. And then you begin to cry foul. So don't start insulting people. Don't do something that will bring insult to you. And for those of us who may fall victim of insults, for the sake of Allah, the best thing for us to do is to remain silent. The best thing for us to do is to remain silent and unyielding. We should not yield to insult. If you now yield to insult, let it be within the limit of the original insult. When you go overboard, the sin of your going overboard comes on your head. I think we can go to Hadith 425. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Here, Al-Imam al-Bukhari did not cite another isnad because, and Allah knows best, these 425 and 426 have been reported by the same isnad of 424. So instead of restating that chain of reporters, he just went on to say, وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ. So if you ask me, who is the companion who reported 425, I will just say Anas ibn Malik. Instead of Bukhari, rahimahullah, repeating his isnad in 424. He just went on to cite the hadith. And there the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْعَبْدُ قَالُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ قَالْ نَقْلُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ إِلَى بَعْضٍ لِيُفْسِدُوا بَيْنَهُمْ نَقْلُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ إِلَى بَعْضٍ لِيُفْسِدُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Atadruna mal awdh al awdh." It's what does that mean? Do you know what is al awdh? Al awdh linguistically means al buhtan wal kadhib. Al buhtan, false city, falsehood, evil falsehood, something that's absolutely untrue and absolutely wild. This is al-adha. The Prophet said, do you really know what is really, really, something really, really bad to do? قَالُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. The companions replied that Allah and His Messenger know best. Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the things that's really, really, really bad that an individual will become engaged in is نَقْلُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. نَقْلُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ نَقْلُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. Citing, quoting, sending response, setting response. That is نَقْلُ الْحَدِيثِ, citing a statement, مِنْ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ, from some people, إِلَى بَعْضٍ, to another group of people. You go, you hear something from group A, you take it to group B. What is the intention for which you have done so? لِيُفْسِدُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. The intention is to cause disharmony between party A and B. This is really, really bad. This is another name for an-namima. This is another name for an-namima. An-namima is نَقْلُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ إِلَى بَعْضٍ لِيُفْسِدُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. When people transmit information from one group of people to the other group by way of causing disaffection, this is an-namima. Yes, you can report someone who commits a crime. The intent is to stop that crime. Someone says or does something that is bad, you report it to government. This is, someone says this, so that you stop that evil. Of course, as Muslims, the first things that will come in the front is we advise such persons to stop. We give them sermons. We encourage them. We pray for them. But when they continue on evil, yes, they may be reported to the appropriate authority. So naqlul hadith, so it is not every transfer of information from one party to the other that is bad. If the intent is good, then it is good. If the intent is good and lawful in Islam, then such transmission of information is good and lawful. If the intent is bad and unlawful according to the Sharia, then such transfer of information is also unlawful. The question then is, why have we brought this under this chapter heading? We say the reason why it has come under this chapter heading is that one of the things that can make a Muslim begin to insult and abuse another Muslim is when negative information is communicated. You hear something negative. Brother A says that Brother B is stupid. You are Brother C. You heard A saying that about B. And then you want the relationship between A and B to become soiled. You now transfer that statement to B. This is common amongst politicians. You want the relationship between the two of them to become soiled. So they transfer the information. He even said yesterday that you are stupid. It's also common amongst people, students who claim to be students of knowledge. They hear a learned person pass a negative comment. That is not appropriate. And he's a human being too. Your sheikh, your ustaz who said something bad about the other man, is a human being who deserves to make tawbah for his statement. The statement is inappropriate. As a student now, don't transfer the information. Say, you go back to ustaz B or sheikh B. Sheikh B, so thing has been said about you by sheikh A. And you know that will not bring about anything except insult. Sheikh B now begins to insult Sheikh A and then their relationship becomes bad. You who transferred that information, the sins from both sides will come upon your head. The sin from Sheikh B, your own Sheikh, and the sin when Sheikh A begins to reply Sheikh B's public insult, it will be upon your head. You go about saying that you are student of knowledge, and you are not guys doing anything except sins on your head. Why? You carry information from one group of Muslims to the other, causing disaffection amongst them, causing them to begin to abuse and insult themselves. As we had said earlier in this chapter, the focus is about discouraging something that can cause insult. Don't be a cause for people to begin to insult themselves. In Hadith 4:26, it also said that وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَن تَوَاضَعُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَن تَوَاضَعُوا وَلَا يَبْغِي بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. The Prophet also said with the same isnad as 4:24 from the Hadith of Anas ibn Malik. It said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, certainly Allah, أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَن تَوَاضَعُوا, Allah has revealed to me, antawadahu, that you Muslims, antawadahu, you should be humble towards yourselves. Be humble, O brother. I am knowledgeable. I have experience. I'm exposed. I am rich. I am brilliant. I am strong. I have self-intelligence. I have emotional intelligence. I'm beautiful. I'm handsome. Be humble, please, in all of that. Be humble. In all of these that you count in your CV, be humble. Tawadu. Inna Allaha awha ilayya an tawadu. Allah has revealed to me, has inspired me, giving me revelation. What did he say I should say to you? An tawadu. And one major area scholars emphasize when they talk about at-tawadu, humility, and being humble, is that accepting the truth when it is said to you. Something is true. You see it, this thing is true. Accept it. Accept it. From the worst of arrogance is to reject the truth. So accept something that is true, that is said to you. And this is also common amongst politicians. If you see somebody doing something that is good, opposition party will always say that it is not good. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. They know it is good. They know it is right. They know it is beneficial. Opposition will say it is bad. They will find the false, assume false, and ascribe false to it, even when they may be lying. These are some of the evils in the politics that we see. We call it democracy. May Allah protect us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allaha awha ilayya an tawadu. Allah has revealed to me that you all should be humble towards yourselves. From the aspects of being humble is acknowledging truth. Something true is said to you, acknowledge it. From the other aspects of humility is following instructions. Some of the people don't like following instructions. It is arrogance. Don't follow this. Go like this. You know, how can you tell me not to? How can you tell me? Ooh, my friend, be humble and follow the instructions. Follow the instruction. Be humble. So for the sake of Allah, we Muslims, we should learn to follow instructions. Some of us Muslims hate it. Hey, everybody should be on a single row. Say, how do you tell me to be on a single row? Give me the document. Let me go. Don't do like this at all. You see this a lot amongst pilgrims in Makkah, in Medina. Say, be in a single row. Say, no, don't be in a single. I've heard someone saying they wanted to distribute something. Say, don't tell us to be. Put it down. Let everybody drag it. Follow instructions. So one of the things that does not make people follow instructions is arrogance. they are not humble people. Humble people follow instructions. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَن تَوَاضَعُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me that you all should be humble. It is when you are humble, you will not start to insult somebody. When you are humble, you will not insult. Arrogant people are the fastest people to insult others. The fastest people to insult people are the arrogant ones, because they think that they have what others don't have. They are intelligent, others are stupid. They are brilliant, others are dull. They are rich, others are poor. So they see themselves, because they are not arrogant. They are not humble. They are rather arrogant. So be humble. One of the reasons that causes people to insult and abuse people is the opposite of humility. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلَا يَبُغِي بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. I was also told to tell you, لَا يَبُغِي بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. A group of you should not oppress the other group. No group of you should oppress the other group. Oppression also brings about insult. When you oppress somebody, he wants to insult you. He wants to insult you. So don't oppress him so that he does not insult you. Men who complain that their wives insult them, don't oppress your wife. If you oppress her, she's likely to insult you. Women who complain that men abuse them and insult them, be humble towards your husband. If you are humble towards him, he's not likely to become insulting. So we are saying that this chapter is about the things that make people insult people. One of them is insult. Don't insult people so that people don't insult you. The other one is, you know, going about with slander, carrying one information to the other group. You cause disaffection among them, and then they begin to insult themselves. Don't do this. The other thing that makes people insult people is arrogance, absence of humility. So be humble, so that when you are humble, you don't insult people, and then people don't insult you. And we said, from the aspects of humility is following simple instructions. Follow simple instructions. It will not make somebody to insult you and abuse you. This one happens a lot. It happens a lot. People don't follow instructions, and then when they are abused, they say, oh, I was abused. Then the abuse begins to be traded amongst the people. Don't also, a group of you, oppress the other group. Why? When you oppress someone, you are pushing him. He can abuse you and he can insult you. From the reports, from the riwayat of this last hadith, is that وَلَا يَفْخَرْ أَحَدٌ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ لَا يَفْخَرْ أَحَدٌ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. No one of you should be insulting, should make fakhr. Al-fakhr is to be daish, to be arrogance. Arrogance will pick al-fakhr, you know, to seek to show off, demeaning the other group. Don't demean a Muslim. Showing off to demean him. Show off to demean him, bring him down. Don't do that to a Muslim. If you do that, it can make him insult you. Don't insult people. This is the basic rule. Don't also do something that will make people begin to insult themselves. I hope that this chapter is clear, inshallah. Abu Abdurrahman, we can take questions and answers today and go back to the next issues tomorrow, inshallah. Abu Abdurrahman.
Naam, ya Sheikh, ana hasana ga ilaykum.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Can we go on questions?
Yes, ya Sheikh.
Ameen. Go on, please.
There is a long question here.
Now, you can go for the short ones first while we try to read the long one.
So the first question here says, concerning the Hajj, he said, what is the ruling of killing mosquito for pigments?
If it bites you, you kill mosquitoes. There is no blame, inshallah. that will be when the pilgrim is in Ihram, perhaps in a place like Muzdalifah. But these days, you hardly find things like that. But if you find it in Muzdalifah, that's where you'll be in Ihram. And issues of killing doesn't come because you are not allowed to hunt. And mosquito is not hunted. You understand? So it does not have to do with mosquitoes. Mosquito bites you and you happen to kill it. There's no blame, inshallah. I hope that that is clear. Where you should expect that is Muzdalifah. You should expect that in Muzdalifah during Hajj when you are in the Ihram. Allahu Akbar.
No,
there's a second question here again about Hajj. So I think someone was asking about the lectures we made on Hajj last year. Lecture 2, 3, 4 or something. Please kindly make it available.
No, so another question here reads, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salawatullahi alaykum wa sheikh. If an elderly abuses someone, can the person reply exactly the way he abused, or it only applies to those of same age category? This is because the elderly is always abusing and the younger ones are seeking ways to let the elderly person stop the frequent abuse. Allahumma sta'an.
If an elderly person abuses you, be sure that you have not caused the abuse. I always say this. Don't just talk about one side of the coin. Talk about the other side. Don't do something. And that's what we are discussing today. Don't do something that will make somebody abuse you. Avoid it as much as possible. Now, let's say in the judgment of the younger person, he was not wrong. And then the elderly person abuses that person. When the elderly person abuses you, it's like any other abuse. The first and the best thing that you do is to remain silent. Because even if when your mate abuses you, or someone younger than you abuses you, the best thing for you is to remain silent. Now the question is, can I reply, like the verse said, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The elderly person abused the younger one. Can a younger person reply equal for equal? We say that the younger person should not reply. Because if you reply, if an elder person says 1, 2, 3 against you, and you say 1, 2, 3 in response, there is already an excess in it. He says to you 1, 2, 3. And you reply an elder and say 1, 2, 3. There's already an excess. What is the excess? Your own 1, 2, 3 was said to someone who is older than you. That is the excess. That is the excess. So there is no way you reply exactly what an elder said to you, except that you be in excess. Why will you be in excess and turn to become the zalim? Because your own is directed to someone who is older than you. So it has a stronger weight. Your own 1, 2, 3 to an elderly person is stronger than the elderly person's 1, 2, 3 abuse to you. I hope that it is clear. Now, it is not just the elders. Our leaders are in this category too. Our leaders are in this category. Don't abuse your leader. If your leader abuses you, it is, and he says, for example, 1, 2, 3 in an abuse against you. If you say 1, 2, 3 in an abuse against him, your own is worse. Your own is worse. Your 1, 2, 3 to an elderly person is worse than the elderly person's 1, 2, 3 against you. So if you say equal abuse to an elderly, you are already overgoing. You are already overdoing it. You are already turning to become the zalim. The same thing our scholars. If it happens, if it ever happens, because they are human beings too, a learned person abuses you and you return. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, he begged Allah in a dua. He said, anyone that I have ever abused, and in that abuse, he was not justified.
he wasn't in the place that he should be at. Allah should. And then the Prophet prayed for that person. So why was it that when the Prophet abused the person did not reply the same abuse? Because you are committed, there is no way you want to equalize abuse towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, except that whatever you say is bigger than what he said to you. So the same thing applies to our scholars. If it ever happens that a learned person abuses you, don't return it. Because when he says 1, 2, 3 to you, and you say 1, 2, 3 to him, your 1, 2, 3 to him is worse than his 1, 2, 3 to you. So the same thing, a wife and a husband. If the husband says 1, 2, 3 to the wife, there is no way 1, 2, 3 reply to the husband will equalize 1, 2, 3 of the husband. Why? The husband has a bigger right over her. So what she has is not just to reply. Just not reply. Because the weight of the wife's 1, 2, 3 against her husband is far bigger than the weight of the husband's 1, 2, 3 towards his wife. Why? The husband, walil rijali alayhinna daraja. There's a daraja there. There's a gap between the wife and the husband. So for the sake of Allah, let us look at all of these. All of these should further discourage us from insulting and abusing people or causing people to insult and abuse us. So if it's an elderly person, no matter how you try to say it equally, you would have gone beyond the limits. You would have turned to become the volume. That's why if an elderly person abuses a younger person and says 1, 2, 3, the younger person replies 1, 2, 3. If a person comes in between the two of them, he will ever abuse the younger person. So you can say 1, 2, 3 to this elderly person. Why? Because of age. Because of age. If it is our leaders, we say because of leadership. If it is our scholars, we say because of knowledge and scholarship. And for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we say because of messengership and prophethood. Between husband and wife, we say because of rights and the importance of respect amongst the two. So for the sake of Allah, these things too should be considered in this discussion. May Allah make us understand better than we have tried to explain about Rahman.
Naam, ya Shaykhana. Another question reads, in a situation where someone unintentionally did an action that made someone insult him or her without realizing that the action was unintentional, who takes the sin among the two?
It depends on what you have done. It depends on what you have done. It depends on what you have done. So you can go back to the explanations in the class. It depends on what you have done. If what you have done is something that can make somebody to respond with an insult, then you take the sin. As long as he has not gone beyond the limits in his own insults too. I hope that it is clear. As long as he did not go beyond limits in his own insults, the one who did something that could cause insult to takes it. That's why we must be intentional in everything you try to do as much as possible. Now, where perhaps you now discover that he was going to insult you or she was going to insult you, you can quickly begin to apologize. So I did not do it intentionally. I was wrong. Apologize. In fact, if you, after hearing his insult, because you did that unintentionally and you still apologize, it can make him to apologize for his own. And there is nothing wrong in taking back something that we did wrong and trying to seek redress. If you say something wrong, you can go back and apologize. So the best thing is don't do something that will make somebody insult. If it now happens, it depends on what you did. If what you did is something that can fetch you insult and you are insulted, don't reply. You should rather explain that you did not do something, that thing, intentionally. You can even apologize for your own And then your own apology can agitate apology towards you regarding the insult. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm present in Scotland, UK. Our child around 11 p.m. and subu 2:40. My friends, are we allowed to go back in relation to the idea that this is sleeping after subu?
It's not clear to me. About the Rahman.
He said he's in UK, Scotland.
Okay.
So they are observing Isha 11 p.m.
Okay.
And Subuh 2:40 a.m.
Okay.
So his question now is he allowed to go to sleep after Subuh?
Yes, it's allowed. We mentioned this in the previous class. Not going to sleep after Fajr is for those who take it for a way of life. If there's a necessity requiring you to rest after Fajr, it's lawful. We mentioned that if there's a necessity, like those who walk in the night guards, you are awake from the night 7 p.m. up to 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. after Salatul Fajr, you can sleep because there's a necessity for it. We remember the hadith of Safwan ibn Mu'attal in Sunan Abi Dawood. In his own case, the wife came to report him that he used to delay Salatul Fajr. And then the Prophet asked him, why was he doing that? He said, because he was a night walker. What did he do at the night? He took care of bathrooms, public baths, in the night. He said, so when he intends to just rest a little bit, he sleeps off and he wakes up later after the people have observed Fajr. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that, and the rest of us, when anyone sleeps off the time of Salah, he should observe that Salah when he wakes up. The Prophet did not blame him for sleeping at that time, alayhi salatu wasalam. So sometimes sleeping after Salatul Fajr may be required. In fact, it may be obligatory. We explained that too when we said that. So if the person still feels very heavy and sleepy after Salatul Fajr, then the body has a right over him, and the right should be given, the right of rest. I hope that it is clear about the Rahman.
Naam, ya Shaykhana.
Can we stop here today, inshallah?
Naam, ya Shaykhana. As-salamu alaykum.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Subhanakallah wa rahmatullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.